Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million.
I'm Rima Khreis, and welcome to This is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace about life and how money messes with it. This week, we've got a mini episode, a little something to entertain you on your way to the beach or picnic or maybe to work. If so, I hope you're getting extra pay. Okay, we have a fun, brand new game for y'all that we're calling Financial Face-Off. Here's how it works. We get two people in the studio and quiz them on how well they know each other's habits and tics when it comes to money. Sort of like the Newlywed Game, but like bank account edition. All right, let's kick it off with Sandy Park and John Fong and their adorable baby who's in the studio right now. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you all here.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
So can you tell me a little bit about you two?
We met first at the church we went to originally. We dated for about 7 years. Oh, wow. We've been married for...
Seven.
I'm so bad with dates.
Yeah.
Wow. So wait, 14 years?
14 years.
Yeah. Oh, so you two know each other.
We'll see after.
No, we do.
Yeah. Okay, so I split you all up and had you answer questions about your relationship with money. And now we're all back here together to see if your answers will match. And if you get more than half the questions right, then you win a prize. So my first question is going to be for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John, what is a secret you kept about money that Sandy found out about later? I love the baby just snoring in the background.
I know, baby snoring. He's comfortable.
I guess just her student loans. I don't think you even knew how much you owed.
You're going to find this to be really funny.
Okay.
Okay, that's not what she said.
He had taken out some type of loan with his ex-girlfriend. And so I found out while we were dating. And then later he's like, I got to go take care of some things and pay off some stuff. I'm like, what stuff?
Oh, man, that's brutal. Yeah.
She went there.
That's brutal. Cool. Yeah. I thought you forgot about that.
No, how does one forget that?
Yeah, I don't think you hesitated that
much.
Yeah,
how does one forget that?
Whoa, yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, sure. You know, I was really close to marrying this girl, you know? So at the time, we needed to apply for a private student loan. So we just both put our names on it.
It surprised you, though?
Yeah. I was like, do people do that? That's like a really serious step.
So you did not get that point?
No.
All right, moving on. So next question's for you, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pay John to do any chore, what would it be?
Just anything around the house, laundry, vacuum, dishes.
Keep it going, keep it going.
You know, wash the dogs.
Are you not doing these chores?
I do it.
Yeah.
We see things differently in terms of cleanliness.
Mm.
She'll say, thank you for tidying up.
Thank you for making my job a little easier.
And for me, I was like sprinkling. Like, you know, I was going to town. But she's like, good job tidying up. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
He's like, I really tried.
So this is what John said.
Yeah, any chore, I would say vacuum and to clean the bathroom thoroughly.
I think you'll get that point.
Yeah. Everything.
Thanks.
Yeah, because apparently anything would suffice.
Anything.
All right, so my next question is, if I gave Sandy $1 million, how much do you think she'd give to charity?
I think she would give half. Our family, we tend to give quite a bit already.
Yeah.
So it's part of our DNA now, I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what Sandy said.
If you get to know John a little bit, we do a lot of charity work on the side already. So if we were given $1 million, I would say about like 90 to 100%, we would absolutely give it to charity.
Wow.
Does that response surprise you?
It does. But it also makes me super happy. It's actually super enjoyable to give.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So next question's for you, Sandy. Mm-hmm. What does John think is the most annoying thing you do with your money?
Spend it until there's like no more down to the budget.
Until I don't have money left.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. We can play that clip.
The most annoying thing Sandy does with her money is she spends it without really thinking about what she's buying. Like $40 baby shampoo.
You know, that's really...
He needs it.
That's really painful.
That is a lot of money
it's
for a baby
like,
wash.
It's like, you know, natural.
You know?
Yeah. So you got that exactly right.
Yay!
Cool.
Okay, next question for you, John. What's something you've bought as a couple that you would never tell your parents about?
I guess what we just bought, but they're going to find out anyway.
Don't nod at him.
We just bought a Model 3 Tesla.
Oh, wow.
I've never splurged like that, but it's pretty cool.
All right. This is what Sandy said.
We're pretty transparent people, and they have a way of finding out, but we recently just bought a Tesla, and we haven't told our parents.
Oh.
Whoa.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's just because it's not like us.
Like really. It's just really.
It's expensive.
We, yes, but we ended up saving quite a bit. It ended up being $29,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's like a really nice Honda Accord.
Yeah. So this question is worth 2 points. So this question's for you, Sandy.
Okay.
If you two weren't in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
what would you spend more money on and what would you spend less money on?
I would probably try and save up to buy like a Chanel bag or something like that. And I would spend less money on... Well, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing.
Yeah, maybe nothing.
This is what John said.
So if we weren't in a relationship, she would spend more money on clothes. And then she would spend... I don't think she would spend less money on anything, to be honest.
Ding, 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 ding. I feel like the takeaway has been like, Sandy's really bad with her money and spends too much.
Maybe that's what we recommended to come.
Frugal and great.
Well, that's why we make it work, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
balance.
We balance each other.
Yeah.
Tallying up the points, you barely won, but you did it.
Yeah.
We won.
You got more than half of them right.
Oh, wow.
Good job. Well done, you.
Yes.
And so I'm going to bring the prize to you all. It is a... fabulous green tote bag.
I'll put our baby's diaper bags and stuff in it.
And the $40 shampoo.
Yes.
Yes. I hope our parents don't listen to that.
don't show
Actually,
them.
They would get pretty pissed about the shampoo.
Wait, they won?
Your mom would flip, yeah.
Dude, she'll give you a nasty a little FaceTime message.
Yeah, so I think I'll get a phone call.
That's for sure.
From your mom.
For
My
sure.
mom wouldn't be surprised, but your mom would, yeah.
Coming up after the break, we check back in with Nika and Terrence. So in our first episode of the podcast, we shared a story with you all about Nika and Terrence and how they dealt with debt in their relationship. A lot of y'all wanted to hear more about how they make decisions together, because in the episode, they talk about what they call the partner model. It's this phrase they've come up with to describe how they communicate. It's a template that helps them compromise or check in after tough conversations. It's also a way for them to measure how strongly they feel about something. Like, they'll assign percentages to how mad they are in an argument or how much more they want Thai over pasta for dinner. Anyway, we called them back up to hear how that all started.
During my MBA at Berkeley, I had a professor of strategy. Him and his wife had this tendency to bet on very mundane things. Friends would come up with them with new partners or new people that they're dating, and afterwards they would bet on, okay, what are the odds that, you know, they'll still be a couple within 3 months? And so they'll actually try to quantify what they believe and actually bet on it. Me being the person who just enjoys adding a little bit of fun to everything in life, started introducing that to our relationship.
So one bet that's pretty common amongst us is Terrence betting me that I won't stay up for a certain amount of time. I've fallen asleep at the concert. I've fallen asleep in a VIP section of a club. If I'm starting to yawn and it's 9 p.m., he might say, I'll bet you $5 that you won't make it until 10:30. Do we pay up? Yes, we actually do.
I will often put in a Venmo request just in case she forgets. Not in a petty way, but, you know, the model starts to fall apart unless we have the payment model.
No, he's not always trying to make money. Terrence likes betting for the sake of betting. He likes the thrill.
However, by playing that betting game, well, we start learning how to quantify everyday occurrences.
I win maybe 40% of the time and lose maybe 60% of the time.
We'll have to revisit those numbers.
Eventually, these bets evolved into treating their feelings kind of like data. So instead of saying, I don't know if I want to go out tonight, Nika might say something like, I 65% want to stay in. And beyond the numbers, the partner model encourages them to be more intentional with how to approach difficult conversations. Like,
when we started wedding planning,
we were using the partner model to even proactively avoid any tension or conflict around money when it came to the wedding.
We started to talk about individually, what would our ideal wedding look like?
Our top three things that were really non-negotiable. For me, the three things were photography, food, and also music.
I wrote down some key points from what I heard there. And then I did the same thing, and she wrote down the key points there.
For Terrence, three most important things were to have an open bar, to have lemon pepper chicken involved in the event somehow, and then to have the music keep the party jumping.
And what that allowed us to do is identify areas where we're already on the same page, and then the other places where we had differences on, we could quantify how important that was.
And send some things like, say, the cake. That didn't make the top three list for either of us, so we weren't willing to go over budget on something like the cake.
One of the things that people do in relationships well is that they're good at communicating what they want. They're not as good as communicating how much they want it. And just coming up with that structure on how to efficiently communicate, it makes us a lot less scared to have difficult conversations in general. So honestly, we can get back to the fun.
I just want to say I 100% support Nika and Terrence's relationship. And with that corny joke, I am out of here. You can catch me on Twitter at Rima Jerez, or you can shoot us a note at uncomfortable@marketplace.org. All right, y'all. So this episode of This is Uncomfortable is produced by me, Rima Jerez, Haley Hirschman, Peter Balanon-Rosen, and Eliza Mills. Megan Dietry is our senior producer. Charlton Thorpe is our technical director. Satara Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager of Marketplace. Theme music is by Wonderly. And special thanks to Donna Tam, Allison Vermeulen, Annika Houston, and Tony Wagner. This is Uncomfortable is funded in part by the Cy Sims Foundation, which supports advances in education, scientific research, and the arts. All right, I'll catch y'all next week.
Oh.
It's okay, we're gonna have fun, baby. There this is go. A fun game.
Yeah, hold them close.
Please tell me you got that on recording. Did you pick up that?
We nice. I think I heard the farts for sure.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.